And good morning. How are you? Good morning. Welcome to all of you across the fruited plain and around the world, from the top to the bottom, all the way around the middle. It is Faith Foundations at Eagle Mountain International Church. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. So we are, in case you don't know, around the country, we are about to celebrate our 243rd year of independence here in the United States of America. And it is a good thing. It's a God thing. It's what it is, because God is good. Our forefathers dedicated this nation to God. Amen. A matter of fact, in all of my dealings with the military and all, it always said in the year of our Lord. Anytime you get a medal or anytime you get a deal, in the year of our Lord. Anybody else experience that? It always says that on there. It always said that on there when I got that. Now, I don't think that's a coincidence. And so I'm grateful that I'm in America. I'm grateful to be a Christian. I'm grateful to be a Texan. Yeah. So I can say that now, right? I'm a Texan. Right, John? We're Texans now. We're born somewhere else, but we're called. I'm sorry? We got here as fast as we could. We are called, born somewhere else, but called here. And so it's a good thing. And if you're not a Texan yet, we welcome you as well. All right, we're going to get ready to get into the Word. I've got the privilege of pinch hitting a little bit this morning. And we're just going to have a discussion, talk about some things about faith and about what the Word says concerning who we are as believers. Amen? Amen. Father, we bless you and we thank you. Come on, hook up with me. Come on, guys, let me hear you. Hook up with me in prayer. Hook up with me around the country. We bless you, Father. We thank you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory forever and ever. You are great and greatly to be praised. We dedicate this service to you. We dedicate this entire day to you. We dedicate ourselves to you and your purpose again. We thank God. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Holy Spirit who's with us now in this place. Let's just do that for a minute. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a second. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our pastors. In the name of Jesus. When you don't know how to pray, you pray in the Holy Ghost. Strengthen with might. Strengthen, 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 strengthen this nation. Strengthen this church. Strengthen our pastors. Strengthen Brother Copeland. That's what's rising up in me. Be strengthened today with might and power in the Holy Ghost. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Didn't that feel good just kind of to shake off everything you come in here with? All right, let's get your Bibles. Let's get ready to go. I remember many years ago, one of my last assignments in the United States Air Force was in the bombing in Oklahoma City, the federal building. I remember on my last day coming out of that building, or what was left of that building, we went through a detox center where they sprayed us off and made sure we didn't have any toxins on us. And I remember the thought of that as they were, you know, you had to stand like this and turn, and they were hosing you off and spraying stuff on you. And I'm thinking, is the stuff you're spraying on me safe compared to what I've already been in? And we can either gripe and complain about things, or we can come up to a level of faith where doubt and unbelief is like a toxin to you. Yeah. Because it is.
It is. It sure is.
So let me define what a toxic thing is. And then we're going to look at some toxic things. We need to detox. My wife was always wanting me to detox. She's all the time wanting me to do a cleanse and a detox. And I rebuke her. Get thee behind me and do not push. You know, anybody in here, are any of you guys toxic cleanser peoples in this room? Any of you? Okay, I see you over there. Stay over there. Always doing a cleanse, always doing a detox thing. It's one where you were drinking lemon water for like forever and put some sugar in it, make it lemonade, and I'm okay with it, you know? But the sugar is the toxin. Now I get it. So let me define it. I like to define what we're talking about. A toxic, something toxic, is defined as anything containing poisonous material capable of causing death or debilitation. A substance that can make you very sick and possibly kill you. Okay, I don't want that. I agree with that. Right? Now, I'm going to submit to you that we are surrounded by them. So the first thing I want to talk to you about today is we don't want anything that, listen, let me say it again, anything containing poisonous material capable of causing death or debilitation, a substance that can make you very sick and possibly kill you. So the first one I want to mention to you is toxic thoughts. Toxic thoughts. How many times have you had two voices screaming in your head? Do this, no, do that. Do this, do that. Don't do this, yes, you need to do that. And you've got this battle going on in your mind with the thoughts. You have the opportunity to struggle with thoughts in our lives. Would you agree? It's part of your soulish realm. Whoever controls your soul controls your destiny. Say it again. Whoever controls your soul controls your destiny, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, your spirit, the moment you were born again, your spirit is cleansed, brand new, complete. Now, it has to grow, right? You have to grow in your spirit. You have to grow in your faith. But you're complete, just as like you were born when you were born. If you were born with 10 fingers and 10 toes, I have the same fingers I had back in 1960-something. My mom looked to see if they were all there, and they're still all there. A little bit, a little differently, thanks to football. But they're all there. And when you were born again, you're all there. You're complete in Him. But now what we've got to do is use our faith, and we've got to guard ourselves from the things that are toxic in this world. We have an opportunity to struggle with thoughts all of our lives, and it's part of our soulish realm. Someone said, you're ugly, you're fat. You're unlovable, you're damaged goods, toxic. Those are toxic words that become toxic thoughts. Woo! This is why what I love about Brother Copeland is he is one of the most, if not the most disciplined person I've ever met where it comes to his words and the things that he says. So what happens is the things play over and over and over in your head, right? So let's go with talking about some types of thoughts, four types of thoughts. Number one is a negative thought. This kind can stay with you for your lifetime. They'll paralyze you out of your potential. They start coming out of your mouth. A toxic negative thought will eventually come out of your mouth. It's a process that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I went with my son Friday to his first college football workout. He learned some things. He learned that college quarterbacks throw the ball harder than high school quarterbacks. And he learned what a college linebacker is in day one. And so I spent the entire day in financial aid. I had to work on toxic thoughts. So we spent the entire way home, he began to talk to me about, Dad, I can't feel my legs. My legs are dead. I said, don't say that. And he's like, come on, quit being like that. And I'm like, no, seriously, quit being like that. Amen. They tried to kill me today. No, they didn't. They made you stronger today. You're just changing the words. Yes, I'm changing the words. And I want you to listen to me because this year, now more than any time ever in your life, you're going to have to learn to change the words. So toxic negative thoughts can stay with you for your lifetime. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I submit to you that we're in the conditions we're in today largely because of the things we said in years past. Ouch, amen, oh me, something. Some of you are ducking from that one. Next one is a fearful thought. The economy is crashing. My kids are out tonight. It's getting late. I just heard a siren. I wonder if they had a wreck. That was my grandmother. Oh, I just heard sirens. I hope that wasn't so-and-so in our family had a wreck just now. I'm like, why would you think that? But something in her upbringing and past has caused her to think the worst when she hears. Now, she's in heaven today. But you understand that kind of thing gets passed down if you're not careful. So fearful thoughts, discontented thoughts. I don't like my nose. I'm too short. Can't do anything about that. Well, you can buy boots or something, but there's things that you can't do anything about. I remember talking to a young lady one time who was going to get plastic surgery, and she was going to get her complete look changed. And I said, honey, first of all, you're beautiful. You don't need to do that. Second of all, someday, I said, do you want to have children? Are you going to have a family someday? Oh, yes, I want to have a family. I want a boy and a girl. And started talking. I said, DNA is DNA. They won't be born with your new face. They'll be born with your old face. And you won't look like your kids. And she looked at me thinking, never thought of that before. So are you going to do surgery on that newborn baby? Well, no. And I'm like, well, why would you do surgery on you? But see, do you understand? That thought was there because of the image that she had of herself that somewhere she believed a lie. Well, I'll just move on then. That's good preaching, but I'll just move on. So discontented thoughts. You compare yourself or what you have with what somebody else has. It's one of the most dangerous things. It is the crippling thing if you're a minister of the gospel. If you're a pastor, it is the thing you have to get control of in your life because you will look at the church across town. Matter of fact, I used to drive past one church and I would train myself to not look in their parking lot on Sunday morning as I was driving to my place. I had to force myself. I will not look at Skyline as I drive by. Come on, right? Because you're comparing yourself. Well, they're bigger than I am. Or they're this than I am. And they're that than I am. We were called to be fruitful. Let me help a pastor. You were called to be fruitful and multiply. You were called to minister to some people, right? So an elephant and a mouse both reproduce. Is that correct? They both do what they're commanded to do. So they're both doing what they were asked to do, aren't they? Regardless of their size, they're both being fruitful.
That's good.
You got to realize if you're doing what God has called you to do and he's dressed you up as a pick something, a teacher, you're a full-time minister, he's disguised you as a teacher and he has stuck you in a classroom, you're doing what he's called you to do. If he called you as a full-time minister, put you in a police officer's uniform and stuck you in a squad car, you're doing what God called you to do just as much as the pastor in the church. Amen. Or just as much an elected politician. You're doing what he called you to do and you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So you got to get rid of that toxic thought in your mind that you're insignificant and not important because you are significant and you are vitally important to the kingdom. Next one is critical thoughts. Here we go. Critical thoughts. You pass judgment. Oh, my goodness. I remember when I was called to jury duty as a senior pastor in California, they called me and the judge said, you're a pastor? And I said, yes, sir. And I'm thinking, here it comes. He goes, can you stand in judgment of other people? I said, I do every day. We all do. He looked at me. I said, you've already judged me based upon my occupation as to whether or not I can sit on this jury. I'm looking at you based upon your hair and your glasses and everything else, trying to figure out which part of a judge you are, whether you're a liberal or a conservative. I've done that already when I came in this room. I said, so we all pass judgment on each other. He goes, that's fine, Reverend. You can sit down. I did get on the jury, by the way. I did. They settled before we got to do a ruling, and I thought, I just wasted 4 days and you guys settled. You could have done that day one. Never mind, there I went, passing judgment, didn't I? I don't like the music. I don't like it when they do that. I like it when they do this song. Or I don't like it when they do these slow songs. I like it when they do the songs. Or when a certain person forgets their words when they're singing. Well, it couldn't have happened to a better person, if you know what I mean. No, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean? I know that you're got toxin in you right now. I know that. I know that I need to get away from the toxin. Well, I remember one time doing this. I'm going to tell on myself. It's better than me telling on you, right? I was at a meeting. And there was kind of a move of the spirit happening, and then they kind of went a different direction. And I remember saying to Michelle, I said, well, if I'd have been in charge, I wouldn't have done it that way. And I heard as clear as anything in my spirit, that's why I didn't have you in charge. I didn't want it done that way. I heard it that clear. That's why you're not in charge. I didn't want it that way. Mine. I'll just move on. When judgment is, when you're talking about Pastor George, Pastor Terry, anybody that's on this stage, all the things here, you're creating a toxic church. I'm just telling you. Just telling you. So how do I overcome it? Number one, you have to identify it. You know what, Greg? That's critical. That's judgmental. That's fear speaking. And I have to replace that with a truth. I have to replace it with God's truth. Romans chapter 12. Let me show you Romans chapter 12. You're wondering when I was going to get to a Bible verse. That's toxic. Don't do that. No, I'm kidding. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind, not your spirit. Notice that? Not your spirit. How many born again people in the room? Your spirit has been renewed, right? You're golden, you're good. But your mind now has to be renewed. And this is what you're doing. You're learning by faith to live from the spirit man, influencing the mind, will, and emotions, which will change the flesh man. Because this guy right here, this part you're looking at, is not saved. It's the flesh. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What are we talking about? Your spirit here? Your thinking. But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So notice that. Each of us have been given a measure of faith. So I don't compare my measure of faith with you. Or with Brother Copeland. Now that can be a goal. Yes. You got it? That can be a goal, but I don't compare myself and think, I'm just a failure at this Christianity thing. No. I'm growing, I'm learning, I'm renewing my mind. Renewing your mind is not memorizing scripture. Uh-oh. If you want a real blessing, let me help you with something. Can I borrow your Bible for just 1 second? See this one? See, is yours marked up like that? See how marked that? That's commendable. That's really good. But if you want a real blessing, read the parts you haven't highlighted sometime. There's some stuff in there. Okay, I'll just move on. It's refilling your mind, removing the toxins and replacing it with the truth. It's deleting the previous programming. And guys, that's a process. And don't get frustrated with the process. The foundation of the process was spoken by Jesus in John chapter 15. Go to John chapter 15. And he says this, verse 7, if you abide in me And my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Isn't that beautiful? By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Isn't that beautiful? So, my ability to love comes from my understanding of his love for me. I have learned this, never boast of my love for him. My love for him will fail. His love for me will never fail, ever fail. So I boast in his love for me. Greg may let you down. He won't want to, but he might. Therefore, I boast in my Father's love. And if I operate in my Father's love, then Greg will get to a place where he won't let you down as well either. Woo, my God.
That's good.
Be aware of his presence in you and in your life every single day, every single moment. Identify and replace things. Go to Philippians chapter 4. You know Philippians 4, right? Excuse me. Go there quickly, please. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, I'm reading English Standard Version today. If it doesn't match exactly, that's why. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Okay, let's try it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There we go. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The thing I learned most from Brother Hagen was not faith. I couldn't get the man to talk to me about faith. He'd always change the subject and talk to me about something else, and it frustrated me for a long time. And then I understood what he was doing. He understood what my calling was even before I did. But he would always, what I learned from him was love. He'd say, Brother Hagen, they're saying so-and-so, so-and-so about you. I said, you'd even find something nice to say about Adolf Hitler. Well, he was persistent. Or something, you know what I mean? What I mean? He would always say something positive about everybody. And to me, that was frustrating. Well, that's not who I am. I'm going to tell the truth. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Tell the truth. But you tell the truth in love. It's a totally different thing. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish things. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we destroy arguments. Ooh, that's strong, isn't it? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Captive means to lead it away. You take these thoughts and you lead them away at Christ. And so if you're thinking all the time about a certain thing and I can't get it out of my head, change it. My family has learned that if I'm driving along in the car with them and all of a sudden I went, no, praise the Lord. It's because something from my past just flashed in front of me. And I have to reject that thought. See, here's what the enemy does. When you get born again, you're a brand new creation. He has no control over you now, over your spirit. You're sealed in Christ Jesus with the promise by the Holy Spirit. But he'll bring a picture of yourself to you and show it to you. Come on. I have pictures of me from high school. I'm the same guy. I don't look like that guy. That guy looks different. His hair was parted down the middle and not this color. Long to about here because it was 1970 something, right? It's the same guy. I'm that same person, but I'm not that person. But that's what the enemy will do. He'll show you a picture of before you changed. and say, see? And you'll believe the picture. Oh, yeah, I guess nothing happened. Nothing changed. I'm still struggling with this. I still feel the pain. I still have the urges to go do that. Of course you do, because you haven't renewed your mind to this yet. So you have to learn to reject that, surround that thought, take that thought captive. I have a toxic thought and I have to surround it by scripture. No, the Word of God says this. Sit down and listen to me. The Word of God says this. I am a new creation that never existed before. The old man was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What happened to the thought? It's gone. And the minute it starts in about something else, I said, nope. My mortal body is quickened by the power of the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in me, and He will quicken your mortal body. So mortal body, listen to me. Stop hurting. Because by His stripes I was healed. Therefore I am healed, regardless of what you're telling me. You see what I'm doing? I'm taking a toxic thought and I'm surrounding it with the greater news of what the Word says about me. And I'm beginning to say what the Word says about me. Listen, nobody's going to say nice things about you. You start saying nice things about me. Hey, good looking. You are sharp, good looking, rich, faithful, prosperous. Going somewhere to bless somebody. To be blessed. Come on. Start looking at yourself, talking to yourself like that. I just don't know that I could do that. Well, you better figure it out. Figure it out. Learn how to do it. We all heard this quote. I'm going to tell you a lie that we were taught when we were kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Did you ever hear that one? That is a lie. Words hurt worse than sticks and stones do. Words stay with you for a lifetime. They have the ability to go straight into your heart. They offer life and death. Let me help you with something. If you have toxic words, you're going to have a toxic marriage. Woo. I might just need to sit down on that one for a second. I kind of didn't warn you that was coming, did I? Let me do that again. Toxic words to your spouse, toxic marriage. You're not going to get something opposite of that. Ouch. Toxic words in your house, problems with your kids. I knew you're going to be just like your uncle. You just, I don't know why you're so dumb. Toxic words, and you're dissatisfied in your career. My God, what happened to the grace preacher? he's banging us today. Bam. No, I'm talking to me too. I mean, this is just one of those we need to pull ourselves up a little bit here, right? Now, negative rolls out of our mouths so easily and so easy to flesh out. I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. Don't do that. You need all you have. Seriously. I watched that happen while I was in financial aid. Financial aid is a blessing. Thank you, Father, for the financial aid department at the college. See what I'm doing? I said something negative about it a while ago. I watched this lady go off on the financial aid people. I'm thinking, you're not helping your son. Because these people, I know what they're going to do. They're going to like put a little star on that file or something. Dealing with mom is not going to be fun. You can't control words around you in most cases. You can't control what someone says to you or about you. You can't do that. But I can control over what I do with the words that are around about me. Proverbs 18:21, we know this, that it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 12:18 says this, there's one whose rash words are like the sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I want to be wise, don't you? So a wise person heals how? With their words. With their words. With their words. I tell my daughter, try to every single day, has anyone told you today that you are beautiful? Well, let me be the first one. I want her to hear that from her father over and over and over and over. So a wise person heals with words. When the sword thrust of words are spoken to me or over me or around me or even by somebody else, my response should be, Father, protect my heart. I'm not going to allow that in me. I won't discount everything that was said, but let me learn what truth they are saying to me, but don't let me stay crippled by these words. If there's truth in what they said, Father, I want to be teachable and I want to learn, but don't let me be crippled by what they just said. I'm going to grow by what they said. I'm going to turn that stumbling block into a stepping stone. See what I mean? You are not who people say you are. You're who God says you are. And if you don't know, you need to get around people that do know, or get in the Word yourself and find out what He says about you so you know who you are. Rehearse who He says you are. Make a confession like John did over himself. John referred to himself all the time as the disciple whom the Lord loved. Peter never wrote that about John. You know, my colleague Peter is the disciple whom the Lord loved. He never wrote that. Luke never wrote it. Mark never wrote it. Paul never said that about John. John said that about John. Moses, the most humble man on the earth, was written by Moses. Yes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But that, I submit this to you, that is John's confession over himself, and it came to pass. And so I say that a lot. I am the disciple whom the Lord loves in modern America. I am the disciple whom the Lord loves in North Texas. I am the disciple whom the Lord loves at Eagle Mountain International Church. I didn't want to burst your bubble that you didn't know that about me, he and I, that he loves me more than he loves anyone else. No, that's toxic words. Don't let that get in you. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Goodness. So you're not who people say you are, you're who God says you are. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. All the words that I say should bring grace to the people that hear them. The moment a positive thought hits my mind, say it, don't delay it. Just say it. Positive thought hits your mind about yourself, or your bank account, your kids, your spouse. Positive thought hits your mind, say it. I firmly believe that in doing so, it will cause people to respond differently. Say positive things about yourself. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in Psalms 19, verse 14. Again, toxic is anything that's defined as something poisonous that can make you very ill or even kill you. So, toxic thoughts. There's toxic relationships. Ouch. Uh-oh. There are some relationships that are just absolutely toxic to your well-being spiritually. And you need to realize that. You need to make changes to deal with that. You love that person. I love them. There are some people in my family, I love them, but that's just toxic for me to be around them. It's not, I can do just a little bit. You know, your family's like, somebody said family is like a tuna fish sandwich. After about 3 days. Now, I don't have walls. I don't live behind walls. I'm not supposed to do that. But I can have boundaries. So there are family members that we know we're not going to talk about certain things, whether it's politics or whatever else. When we get together, we're going to enjoy one another, and we're not going to talk about certain things. We've already made up an armistice line in that area. We're not going to see eye to eye on this, but I love you because you're my family. I respect you and I honor you because it says to honor your mother and father, right? And you are part of my family, so I honor you, but we're not going to talk about certain things. I have one family that did not become an Oklahoma Sooner. I don't know what happened. Don't know what happened. They went over to the dark side. So we won't talk about football. Come on, I picked the most innocuous thing I could think of. But we all have people like that in our lives, right? And so you know when you're around them, don't go there. Let's talk about the things we have in common. And therein is the problem that's happened between the church and the Jewish people. Yeah. We have more in common than it separates us.
Yes.
But we've chosen to focus on the things that separate us rather than the things that unite us. We have the same word of God, the same prophets, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're both looking for the Messiah to return, right? There's things that we can agree on. So let's not pick the things that we disagree on and start a fight. And that's the truth with anything in your life, with your family. Some of your family, how many of you? No, don't raise your hand. Let's don't do that. But the fact that you're one of those word of faithers, or that you're one of those tongue talkers. People at that church, they just run. They might just run or dance or something crazy. And somebody, that preacher guy pushes them over. So let's not, right? So let's not talk about that at Thanksgiving. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about President Trump. No, no. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord God, my rock and my redeemer. But we're talking about toxic relationships more than just toxic thoughts and toxic words here. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Ouch. Ouch. Relationships can be toxic. The church Paul founded was a mess. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, he writes this to him. Let me read you this real quick. He says, wake up from your drunken stupor. Was that literal or was that figurative? I don't know. That's what he said. And do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Ouch. This is the church he founded. Matter of fact, this is the Spirit-filled church. It's a mess. It's divided, different factions wanting to lead. And the division is hindering the gospel coming out of the church of Corinth. Very wise, very intellectual group, yet they lack true wisdom. They are all entertainment and excitement. They love life and they live large, and that's the church of Corinth. But they're distracted by the life they live. And they have values and lifestyles of the secular city around them instead of them influencing the secular city around them. The church at Corinth was the entertainment capital of the Mediterranean. And that attitude has taken residence inside their church. And that's what he's talking about. Because of the moves of the spirits in the services, they think they're mature, but actually that quote is from the gladiators of the Greek. If you read the Greek, from a poet, and he's harsh with them, telling them you're killing your witness. I can give you a lot of examples of toxic relationships in Scripture. Saul and David. Man, as long as David was singing and playing, Saul was good, right? Lot and Abraham, toxic relationship, right? Lot is called righteous. Listen to this. This always is interesting to me. Lot is called righteous. He's 24 hours away from destruction and is clueless to it. Go read the Bible. You'll find that. Shall we tell righteous Lot? And they go and they rescue him, right? The best case may be Samson. There's a toxic relationship. Little Sunshine. That's what his name really means. You had to be tough if your parents named you Little Sunshine. I'm just saying. No wonder he had an attitude. Sunshine, come here, Sunshine. Come on, Sunshine. But that's where his permissive parents got him in trouble. Dark time of oppression, an angel's words gave new hope to a family and to the nation of Israel in the book of Judges, chapter 13. Supernatural event took place when an angel appeared to a barren woman, announced that she's going to give birth to a boy who would begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And she named him Samson, which means sunshine. I told you that. So from the new day that was dawning, and Samson was the first ray of sunshine to a formerly great nation. And you know how his story ended up, right? He grew up with a gift from God, but he lacked the integrity inside. You can't look at the minister and think they're so anointed, because there's a lot of them that the integrity is not there. So this is why we have to learn to live within from the spirit man out. You know them by their fruits. That's what I love about Kenneth Copeland Ministries. That's what I love about Brother Copeland. Have you ever been to one of the partner meetings when he stands up there and talks about and says the prayer and the pledge that he's kept all these years to the partners about being spiritually pure and sexually pure and all the different things? Isn't that beautiful? Man, every time he does that, I'm like, I'm a partner with that. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. That's great. If you're not a partner, you ought to become one. Seriously, pray about it. So power without a purpose. He had this great gift. He came up and told his mother and father. He said, I saw this woman over there of the Philistines, and I want you to get her for me, for my wife. Well, he ought to know better than that. But he never did it. They never called him on it. We know what happened. Now, in the end, it came out well. Why? Because Samson mistook grace for tolerance. That was a key phrase I just threw at you. He thought God would keep overlooking his sins and his rotten attitude. He had a rotten attitude. Bible tells us in Romans 11:29, God's gift and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they're given. If you were called, you're still called. He doesn't change his mind about those he calls and he equips. And he gives grace to all he sends and he equips. So, one more toxic. Chronically negative people are toxic. Let me give you a couple of them. The controller. Oh my. Yeah, we'll just go past that one. And the other one is the tempter. The tempter. Well, how do I break this? By setting boundaries, like I talked about a while ago. There's one last toxic one. Toxic religion. Religion is a system of set of rules and expectations or regulations that promises God's acceptance by your human effort, and that'll never happen. If I do this, then God will do this. Most religions are about what I must do, and that's where they fall short, because we're the weakest link. I love what the Lord said. In the Old Testament, in the First Testament, it always says, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. Where's the focus on that? Thou shalt, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. You shall not. Especially you. I got three for you. Thou shalt not. Right? But that's all about what? In the New Testament, he talks about a new covenant established on better promises. He says, and I will not, I will not, I will not, I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. It's all about what he's doing now. And because I'm in Christ, I'm fulfilling the thou shalt. Oh my. The only way to have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus XYZ. Amen. It's Jesus. And when I get in that and I start focusing on that and I start speaking that and I start believing that, then I'm going to live from the inside out and everything around me will begin to change. All the toxins are coming out of me when I'm in him. Because he overcame the world, went to hell. He even told the boys that last night. He said, where I'm going, you can't go. So where did he go? He took all the sin upon him. He took the sin so Greg doesn't have to. Amen. Be in it. He took the sickness of the world so that I don't, where I'm going, you can't go. I can't take the sickness for you, but he did. Oh, Jesus. He became poor so that I could be. See, we don't have any problem with that one, do we? He went to hell so that I won't go where? Every time somebody tells me, and I've had them say it, shockingly, Greg, go to hell. I say, I can't. Jesus went for me. Listen, I was on my way. I had cleared the path. I had downshifted into a higher gear, but Jesus came along and took me off the road. He already went and saw me on the other way. And I just hitched a ride with him, so I can't go there. I'm sorry. Would you like to go where I'm going? Let me show you one thing. The prodigal son is the greatest story analogy that we have about the heart of the Father. And if you don't know the character, nature, and heart of the Father, you're going to fail every time. Here it is. We know that the son asked for his inheritance. He went off, messed it all up, blew it, everything gone, right? Dad kept looking for him. I'm not going to have us, for sake of time, turn to the verses of it. Dad is looking for him. Is that right? He sees him coming from afar off. What does it say in Scripture? The son has a plan. The servants have it better in my dad's house than I do. I'm going to go back there and be a servant. Right? That was the plan. He never got to do that plan. Because the minute he came back, daddy ran, met him, and the Scripture, if you read it in the original translations, jumped on him. Pig poo and all. Placed the ring on him. Got the robe on him. Wouldn't listen to the plan about being a servant. Only, you're my son. Now, the older brother got mad about it when he heard the party, right? He goes in, he pulls the record with his dad. Toxic, toxic, toxic. And begins to complain about things, right? You never did this, you never did that, you never did this. Just like his brother did years ago. Here's my question to you. This will determine this. I had to ask this question myself. If I want to get rid of toxic thoughts, toxic words, toxic relationships, to walk in the fullness of my faith, we're doing a cleanse today, right? Detoxing. If I want to do that, what if the brother had run into his older brother on the way home instead of running into daddy first? Now, the older brother would have represented the truth. He would have said, Dad has been looking for you every single day and you broke his heart. But he's been looking. Do you understand? The man at his age has been looking for you every single day. And now you're just going to waltz back in here. Is that truth? Yeah. Is it true?
Yes.
Yeah, it's true. Is it represented correctly? No. No, it's not. Because it's not being represented by the heart of the Father. I will submit this to you, and I want this just to sink in for just a second. When the world comes and they're looking, and they've spent it all and they've gotten no better, and they're sick and they need healing, and their relationships are perishing and they need restoration, and their kids are rebellious and out in the world and they don't know what to do, and they come running and they run in to you before they run into the Father, what report will they receive from you that has the answers, that has the life of God in you? And this is why we've got to detoxify. This is why we can't be speaking toxic words and toxic thoughts and these kind of things, because Jesus said, pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest. You're the answer to somebody's prayer. Father, I think my family somewhere is in Texas. My family is somewhere where you're at, and send somebody across their path today. And you're that person. You're that answer. And so will you represent, or will you be the older brother? I'm saying it's time for us to represent. This is Eagle Mountain International Church, where love is king. And we've got to let that love shine out of us. And we're going to do it by faith, because there's times you're not going to feel lovely, and there's times you're not going to feel I'm in a hurry and I don't have time for this. You're going to have to, by faith, love. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. And Father, we have detoxed today and we want to get rid of all the toxic thoughts and words and attitudes out of our life. And so right now, Lord, we submit it unto you. We lay this at your feet. We shake off everything, then all the sin and the weight that has beset itself upon us, and we run our race. And Father, we will be that person today that you'll set across somebody across our path today, and we'll smile at them and we'll love on them and we'll restore them back into the kingdom of God. We ask all of this, we claim all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody agrees, says, amen, amen. All right, we're going to take a break. Pastor George will be up in church service in just a moment.